Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hey, ladies! Get funky.
For nearly 3 hours this afternoon, more than 100 peaceful protesters gathered in downtown Pensacola. It's a part of the nationwide A Day Without Immigrants movement. The movement is in response to President Donald Trump's immigration policies.
Okay, can I quibble right from the start? Listen to this one more time.
For nearly 3 hours this afternoon, more than 100 peaceful protesters.
Being peaceful is part of being a protester. Peaceful protesters are redundant. If you're a protester, you're peaceful. If you're not peaceful, you're a rioter. Anyway, just a thought. it's a quibble. It's a small thing. Local restaurants weren't operating yesterday as part of this. This has been an ongoing thing. We periodically get these Day Without an Immigrant. I don't know if the Irish don't work. The Catholics don't work. The Chinese and the Koreans and the Haitians don't work on a day. Why is it only the Mexican immigrants that don't work on a day, or Hispanic? It's Puerto Ricans too. I don't know. Seriously, there's a lot of immigrants in this country, and I don't think that the folks from Germany don't work. People of German ancestry. Grace McCaffrey, who is a friend, I like her a lot, and, she's a very smart lady. She's the one who's kind of become the voice face of the immigrant community in the United States. By the way, in Pensacola, one of the things that that bugs me about these, protests, marches, whatever, which I am completely happy that they're doing it. I think they're silly. I think that what they're saying is silly. I think that there's all kinds of logical confusion in the process. But as long as all they're doing is protesting, as in not rioting, which they didn't. They very good, peaceful, as it should be. I'm 100% going to defend their right to do it. I mean, that's like core belief in the First Amendment, right to assemble, right to petition. I don't think anybody's trying to stop them. Somebody asked me that question. I don't think anybody's trying to stop them. But if they did, I would defend them. I mean, I would take up arms to defend their right to say things I think are silly. That's what that stuff means. That's what tolerance is. That's what free speech and assembly and petition is. Anyway, Grace McCaffrey, as I said, is a good friend. She was on Channel 3 talking about this.
We just want to make sure that people understand it's a peaceful march, and we're providing information for lots of folks that have been asking how can they help their immigrant neighbors or friends. And it's not meant to be, aggressive or anything like that. But mostly to hopefully show that respect and love is possible, regardless of someone's immigration status.
So, yeah, I mean, of course, respect and love is possible regardless of somebody's immigration status. And I actually have a lot of compassion for the people who have come here illegally. You say, how can you? Well, no, I mean, I think it takes a lot to leave a country and go to another country. I think that a lot of folks have left horrible circumstances, people who have come here seeking asylum, whether because of political oppression or other, or just because of economic adversity. I just think if you've traveled to other parts of the world, it's pretty easy to understand why people would want to come to America. I mean, I know I'm glad to get back every time I go, and that's even going to nice parts. Going to the not-so-nice parts, it's very easy to understand. The fear that people live in, the fear of being deported, the fear of losing their livelihood, the fear of being arrested, the fear of losing their kids, the fear, I mean, those are all real things. And even if, even if somebody does something that puts themselves in the position of having to live with fear, you can still feel compassion for them for experiencing the fear. That's a Christian thing, right? Sinners cause themselves problems. I'm shifting gears a little bit, but sinners cause themselves problems. That doesn't mean you can't feel compassion for the sinner for the problems that they cause themselves. I mean, that's what empathy means. That's what compassion means. Because if they didn't deserve it, if it wasn't self-chosen, then it's just injustice, right? And you, of course, feel compassion for people who suffer injustice, but you approach it differently. Anyway, so back to this conversation about the Day Without Immigrants. Somebody says it's a muddy message. Somebody texted me. It's a muddy message. I agree. Because do you mean a day without legal immigrants? Without any immigrants? Without the descendants of immigrants? I am. You know, most everybody here is, right? Do you mean a day without illegal immigrants only? Because if that's the case, you know, I'm not convinced that all of these Mexican restaurants shut down yesterday because they need the illegal workers. Now, illegal, and Grace would have me say this, and I appreciate the nuance, that it's not a matter of all just being legal or illegal. There's elements, you know, people who overstayed their visa, people who ran into bureaucratic difficulties, people who are seeking asylum. And you tend to think an illegal immigrant is somebody who, at least some people tend to think, that an illegal immigrant is somebody who, you know, leaves Mexico wanting to swim across the Rio Grande carrying a kilo of coke, some guns, and, you know, a human trafficked child under, you know, like that's like the worst possible picture, okay? And there are definitely some who do that. Most of them come for all kinds of reasons, primarily because who wouldn't rather live in the United States? That's understandable, right? So again, and there's a lot of conversation to be had about what should be done to reform the immigration system in the U.S. My short answer has always been, and I think will always be, I want a very tall wall and I want a very wide door. I want us to be in control of who comes, and I think we ought to allow as many people as we possibly can, especially if they are productive, if they are going to work, because that enhances the GDP. Some people in society economically are net takers. They destroy more value than they create. Some people are net creators. They produce more than they take. And I want as many of the producers as we can get, because that's good for us and bad for anybody who loses them. But about the protest particularly, it's a weird one. It is. It's a weird one to say a day without an immigrant. When I guess, like, Trump is not trying to deport the immigrants. He's trying to deport the illegal immigrants, some of whom are criminals, some of whom are perfectly fine, other than the fact that they broke the immigration law, right? Some of whom are very productive members of our society, other than the fact that they broke the immigration laws. So, you know, if it's a day without illegal immigrants, at least it's a clear message. But it's hard to say that you're protesting against Trump when it's all immigrants and, I don't know, it's just kind of a weird message. But the chance, we'll come back to the chance here in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We've got a malfunctioning light at the corner of North and South Pace Boulevard. So just be aware of that. You might want to plan an alternate route. I-10, I-110 are looking good, not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Other thoughts about the day without immigrants or whatever? Shutting down the restaurants, fine. It's your choice to shut down a restaurant. I mean, it's your business. That's private industry. You know, if you want to shut down your restaurant and not take in money on a day, okay. If you view that as necessary PR to the people who consume your products, I mean, I get that also. But I don't think anybody in Pensacola failed to find food yesterday because a dozen restaurants shut down. Now, you might have been trying to go to El Asador, the best tacos in the country, or some of, and they were shut yesterday. And you're hoping they're reopening today for Taco Tuesday. And I don't know if they will. Some aren't, apparently. We'll see. But if you showed up to the Behind the Shell station to buy your amazing tacos, and then they weren't open, you went to the taco stand on the other side of the BP station or whatever it is, and or you went to one of the other taco places, or you got burgers, or, you know, you got Taco Bell, which is not a substitute, but is available. You know, so it's, I'm not sure what it accomplishes other than, well, you made less money, and you got some people who now don't want to shop at your place because they view you as part of the problem, which is not generally great for a business. 437-1620, when I saw, let's see, on the signs yesterday, somebody said this. One protester had a sign that said, what's the difference between ICE and a Nazi? Nothing. I think there's some degrees in there. I think there's some space between ICE and Nazis. Yes, okay, there's a rounding up element, and yes, there's a withdrawing to a place element. But just to relocate to live, not anything worse. And it's not racial. It's based on immigration status. And, you know, this... Anyway, I did promise that... somebody said Puerto Ricans aren't immigrants, they're citizens. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. So I guess they shouldn't participate? No, you're right. That's right. Good catch. My mistake. I apologize. I said I would evaluate the chance. Okay, here goes. Here's briefly the one that I'll play that the Channel 3 provided.
The people united will never be defeated.
The people united will never be defeated.
Oh, so close. Missed it by that much. The people united will never be divided. You got to rhyme your chants, man. You got to rhyme your chants. You know, if you're going to put a chant out there, it's got to be a rhymer. The other ones that were read by, you know, I apologize. This is one of the newer gals at Channel 3, and I don't know her name, but she was reading the chants.
Other chants included, Donald Trump, let's be clear, immigrants are welcome here.
I mean, yeah, we even the harshest, even Trump has said he welcomes immigrants. It's just illegal immigrants, right? So, but it's hard to work a three-syllable word into that particular rhyme. Here's another one.
And brick by brick, wall by wall, this racist system has to fall.
Why is it racist? Why is it racist? But that one's fine. I mean, it's fine. Whatever. By the way, I think the value of the protests is probably not to change a policy. Is probably not. They think it's probably to make people like me aware so that I'm more motivated to be on their side. And, I'm already, like, a lot of Republicans would say I'm way too pro-immigrant and way too soft on illegal immigration. They would say that about me. So I'm already pretty close to being supportive. But I think the main value of these protests, demonstrations, probably a better word, is it's a building a sense of community. It's making each other feel good. It's we're all in this together, and I've got friends and allies, and it's moral support. And that is, listen, for most protest demonstrations, that's probably 90% of what gets accomplished. You don't really change policy most of the time. And you don't usually engage in crime. You know, they're not stopping traffic like in California, so that's good. Okay, that's good. But it just makes everybody involved feel, you know, better. Maybe angrier, I don't know, reinforces anger, but it's crowd self-soothing. And that's okay. You know, getting together to talk about a thing that's of common interest and shout about it and make some signs and feel like you did something is, and that's American. That's fine. Actually, it's one of my favorite stories my dad used to always tell me was about a town where they had a happy hour, you know, 4 to 7 drinks are half price at the bar. And so people would go to the bar and they would complain about the stuff that's wrong with the town. And then the city council got this idea. We need to end, all this complaining, and we need to get rid of the happy hour. Let's get rid of the happy hour. And what you might think is, well, that's the dumbest thing to get rid of. That's at least something people enjoy. And that's not the problem. When people didn't have the happy hour, they didn't go to the bar. They went to they activated and organized and got involved in politics, and they got the politicians out because they didn't have the complain about it time. They didn't, you know, because when you go to complain, you know, it's kind of two kinds of people, the people who do something, people complain about it. The demonstration is a complaint about it. It vents. It releases tension and frustration and steam, and that means that they don't do something. You know, going to the bar to complain about stuff during happy hour, you know, wine and moan fest, as opposed to actually getting involved in changing things, which, you know, maybe worse. Anyway, just some thoughts about what we see yesterday and what I suppose we may see still today. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio-dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God is love. Those simple yet inspiring words were penned by John the Apostle. John had firsthand knowledge of the love of God. It is John who is recorded in Scripture as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It is John who wrote that we love God because he first loved us. It was John who wrote Jesus' words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then John is recorded as being a witness to this greater love in which Jesus willingly laid his life down on the cross to die a substitutionary death which offers salvation to the world. There is no greater love than sacrificial love. God is love.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I have to warn you. I've heard relationships based on intense experiences never work.
Okay.
Morning, 7:26 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. My boss is a huge Bruce Springsteen fan, so I'm making her happy here. Love you, Mary. 7:26. John Pickens in the. It's got traffic on the sixes. It immediately violates her love of me because I didn't do traffic on the fives. Go ahead, John.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Not seeing any new accidents to let you know about it, but if you're traveling on Highway 29 southbound, just south of 9 Mile Road intersection, you're going to see some major, about a 7 to 8 minute delay there. I-10, I-110 are actually looking good. If you're traveling from Pace into Pensacola via Highway 90, you're starting to see some backup delays there, about a 5 to 7 minute delay as you approach that light at the cutoff of Scenic and 9 Mile. Other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Japanese Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba will be meeting with President Trump in Washington, D.C. later this week. On Friday, Rebecca Bunden reports that Ishiba will be using that visit to try to strengthen cooperative ties between Japan and the United States.
Following Trump's announcement of tariffs on China, Mexico, and Canada, Japan is concerned about the economic fallout of the move and any further tariffs that may be imposed.
And the two leaders expected to discuss a number of other topics as well, including the proposed buyout of U.S. steel by Japan's Nippon Steel. The NFL is touting its security plan ahead of Super Bowl 59. League officials said Monday that the safest place in the country this weekend will be under the security umbrella around the Superdome. Their plan includes help from the Department of Homeland Security, which has dispatched over 500 FBI personnel to New Orleans to investigate and prevent threats.
The safest place in the country?
That's what they're saying.
I'll say it's safe. But when you say, because it's the polarization effect. When you say something is the best, you invite people to think, well, is there anything that's better? So when you say it's the safest, and I'm thinking like, I feel pretty safe in my living room, you know?
Right. Oh, absolutely. So, yeah.
Go on.
Heinz is teaming up with Grammy-winning producer Mustard to create a special edition sauce. I wonder what they'll call it.
Grammy? What?
Yeah, who is this Mustard seller?
Can you read this again?
Heinz is teaming up with Grammy-winning producer Mustard. There must be a producer by the name of Mustard. I'm not familiar with his work personally. But Mustard is behind hits like Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us And he's
This is a person named Mustard?
A person named Mustard.
Not Colonel Mustard, but Mustard.
Right, not Colonel Mustard.
And Hines.
And he's not in the library, and you're not going to do anything with the candlestick.
Is it Hines the company we're talking about, or is Hines also a music industry leader that I've never heard of?
No, this is Hines the company.
So Hines Ketchup is partnering with real-life person, alias named Mustard. Go on.
Yes.
No candlesticks.
And Mustard, no candlesticks in the library or anything like that. Mustard is behind hits like Kendrick Lamar's Not Like Us. He's been appointed to Hines. He's been appointed as Hines's new chief mustard officer. And this collaboration was announced in a commercial during the Grammys on Sunday night. That's why nobody knew about it, because it was on the Grammys.
And it wasn't wearing a see-through dress, so nobody cared. or a house on its face. Did you see Will Smith's kid? He shows up in his black suit with a house on his head. You people need jobs. and then what's his name? Kanye's girlfriend, wife shows up not wearing anything, I think. Chief Mustard Officer in the conservatory with the rope.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. China announces a response to new tariffs on Chinese imports now in effect.
It's slapping a 15% tariff on coal and liquefied natural gas products, as well as a 10% tariff on crude oil, agricultural machinery, and large displacement cars coming from the U.S. China said it would also launch an investigation into Google to see if it's violated antitrust laws.
Fox's Alexandria Hoff. The White House says President Trump plans to speak with China's president soon. Israel's prime minister visits the White House this afternoon.
Benjamin Netanyahu will meet with President Trump as a delicate ceasefire remains in place in Gaza.
I have no guarantees that the peace is going to hold.
Negotiations on a second phase of that deal began this week.
Fox's Jared Halpern. The Senate confirms Chris Wright as energy secretary. He's the founder of Liberty Energy, a fracking company based in Denver. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got, looks like mostly cloudy skies still, a little bit of fog, possibly 55 degrees here in Pensacola. It's tough to see, really. 55 here in Pensacola. Santa Rosa County has now approved impact fees. That happened yesterday at the Board of County Commissioners meeting.
Everything's pushed to the consumer. We understand that. But we have to have fair impact fees in place. We should have had them in place. It's been my argument we should have never let them go. But we're in the pickles, and a lot of the pickles that we're in right now are because of not looking into the future.
That is Commissioner Kerry Smith. Those fees will start in May. They're among the lowest impact fees in the state of Florida. Fees for a single-family home would be $1,636. Multifamily residences would range from $789 per unit for a high-rise building to about $1,171 for a smaller building. Commercial developers will be charged per square foot, and all of the money would be used for roads in Santa Rosa County. Impact fees were last discussed prior to November's election when they were tied to a half-cent local option sales tax, which was defeated in the polls. Some big changes are coming for Escambia County schools next year. The district will be adding sixth grades to elementary schools. That's been pushed by parents concerned about child development.
You fall in love with your school, whether you're a student or you're a family member. I think they're very excited about that. The other thing is the maturity level of sixth graders and entering into middle school. It's a little bit different today than it's been in the past. I think they're excited about that.
That is Escambia School Superintendent Keith Leonard, who talked with Channel 3. He says they'll also be creating a new K-8 hybrid model, which would combine Helen Caro Elementary and Bailey Middle Schools. And students at those two schools would have opportunities on both campuses. The district also plans to add 7th and 8th grades to Pensacola High School. That would be available to the high academic achievers in the district. The changes are all being made to help the district compete with the state's school voucher program. Now, the battle between Governor DeSantis and our state legislators continues as the governor's promised to veto the recently packed Trump Act immigration bill.
It's a bill that we've worked on with the Trump administration. So he's trying to create the circumstance that allows him politically to veto this bill for improper purposes when he knows just as well as anybody that this would make Florida an even stronger and the strongest state in the country enforcing illegal immigration.
That is District 2 State Representative Alex Andrade, who says this appears to be ego-driven for the governor. DeSantis said giving some of his power on immigration issues to Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson is like, quote, letting the fox guard the hen house. The governor's been traveling state criticizing the Trump Act immigration bill, saying it would make it impossible to enforce President Trump's mandate on the issue. Andrade tells News Radio putting an elected official in charge of it makes more sense than letting the governor install an unelected bureaucrat to make policies. Speaking of Governor DeSantis, he's revealed his proposed budget for the next fiscal year. The theme of that budget would be focus on fiscal responsibility. It includes $115 billion in spending, $30 billion of that marked for education. It would amount to about $9,200 per student. The budget also includes raises for teachers and first responders and a tax-free holiday for gun and ammo sales. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now. If you're rolling through I-10, I-110, they're looking good. Just seeing that minor delay around the construction zone on Highway 29. Also, if you're rolling from Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola and rolling through Pace, there's a lot of fog still in Pace right now. We just got a report of that. So definitely be careful. Slow down. You know, get plenty of distance in between you and the other driver. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pekins with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a dense fog advisory through the morning hours. Dense fog going to be possible through the late morning. High today near 72 degrees with partly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 58. Fog possible Wednesday morning as well with a high near 72 in the afternoon. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 55 in Pensacola, 54 in Gulf Breeze, 50 in Milton, your next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Diageo said it is taking steps to deal with the potential impact of U.S. tariffs and removed its medium-term guidance due to macroeconomic and geopolitical uncertainty. Roughly 46% of Diageo's U.S. sales are derived from imports from Mexico and Canada. That's according to Jefferies analysts. Nintendo has reported weaker than expected top and bottom results for its fiscal third quarter, slashing its forecast for the Switch console ahead of the release of its successor. Nintendo said it now expects to sell 11 million units of its current Switch console. This is down from the previously reduced estimate of 12.5 million units. Climate change will wipe out about nearly $1.5 trillion in U.S. home values over the next three decades and hasten economic gaps in U.S. communities. That's according to a First Street Foundation report that was just released. Futures are mixed as China announces retaliatory tariffs on U.S. imports. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 122. That's your money now.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
It's always Sonny's here. This is Eldon with Sonny's Barbecue. When you're ready for slow smoke barbecue prepared by local pitmasters since 1968, it's always Sonny's. Visit us at four convenient locations in the News Radio area. Pine Forest, Navy Boulevard, 9th Avenue, and in Pace on Highway 90. With $10 big deals and all-you-can-eat ribs for only $19.99 every day. Kids eat free every Saturday, and don't forget that good old banana pudding. All served with a heaping portion of Southern hospitality. Open daily at 10:45. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
We are expecting some snow here later today.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks for having me. Our 17 critical roads within the city have already been cleared of snow.
When you need to know.
Scambia County officials are asking residents to be safe during the storm.
So we're asking people to stay indoors if you do not have to go out, because then that will allow.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:40 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Apparently, we need to start playing the foghorn. Not the foghorn leghorn, but the foghorn, because it's foggy. I knew it was foggy this morning when I came in, and somebody sent me a picture of, like, I-10 over Escambia Bay. And but, you know, turn on your lights, be visible, be safe. You can see. It's all right, I hope. Anyway, and somebody says in Pace it's really bad. So I know it's not super bad here, but the sun's going to burn that stuff off pretty quick. Here in studio, got Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
You
doing?
Never quite know what to make of me, do
well,
you?
I'm just looking at your weather forecast.
Thank you.
It's brilliant.
On the pea soup scale, it's not ready yet.
Because you look out the window and say, it's foggy outside.
Yeah, right. You know, all right. Prepare. So we had a really awful thing happen last night, kind of an unusual and awful, right? Over in by Ashton Brosnahan Park off Millbrook. Is that right?
Yeah, we had a murder-suicide. You know, these are, again, domestic-related. In this case, we had a son in some sort of an argument or disagreement with his father, ended up shooting and killing his father. And then he came outside of the bedroom that they were in, ended up getting into an altercation with his mother. His mother subsequently fled to a bedroom. She heard a couple shots, and one of those shots was the son taking his own life. So when we got there, obviously, the father in was deceased at the scene, and the son, the shooter, the killer, He ended up dying at the hospital. So,
I mean, awful for
wrapping
her,
that investigation
for the
up.
Dad, for the, and you can only, only imagine the anguish the son must have been going through in those moments to make that horrible decision after what he had done already. It's awful.
Yeah. Who knows to be triggered to that point.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what the circumstances were, and we may never know the exact circumstances now because both of them are dead.
I know we say it a lot, but I just don't want to go without saying it, that, man, take a breath, take a walk. I must have said it 1,000 times to my boys, you know, raising 3 boys, leave the area. You know, the number one thing you can do if you're starting to get into high tension, you know, because the feeling is like, I got to retaliate, I got to say something, I got to do something. Just leave, get out. Separation, distance that'll solve 99% of these things, at least for now.
Well, and I believe you can practice these things on smaller arguments.
Yep.
You know, you can make this a habit. You can make this part of your personality, really.
Yeah.
You can take that breath, and if you know that you get really, really sprung up, then you understand that. You take a look at yourself and decide, you know, it is a good idea to walk away, and we can always come back. We can all probably use a little bit of that advice.
Absolutely. And that's why I love, you guys are doing you're starting a Blazer Academy tonight, right? So.
Right.
You know, teaching people all kinds of things, including how to handle their emotions, you know, handling your emotions. I mean, I said it before, I'll say it again, but, you know, to become a man, you learn how to handle your anger and your lust. I mean, that's, you know, you learn to handle those things and you become a man. Until you do, you don't, you're not. But that's just one of those things, like you coach football for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and people say, well, it's a violent sport. Yeah, within limits.
It's controlled.
With restraint.
Control, right.
Right. And that's learning how to hit somebody in a way that's not a penalty is a way of learning how to act within limits with restraint to control yourself, right?
Well, that's exactly what, as football coach at least, we were talking about that controlled, before the whistle, you were this controlled, violent individual. But once you're a gentleman afterwards.
Right.
You're a gentleman between plays, you're a gentleman after the game, you're a gentleman before the game. And that is exactly what we teach or try to instill in our the students in the Blazer Academy. And we talk a lot about de-escalation. We talk a lot about why does one thing make you so angry that it affects your life, or could the consequences could affect, you know, the rest of your life or someone else's life. So that you're right. That's exactly what we talk about. We don't necessarily talk about murder, suicides, but we take those situations and we turn them into our own role play type scenarios.
You know, we got to talking about Blazer Academy because of this awful event. I didn't know you did that in the Blazer Academy. Like, it makes perfect sense. I'm glad you do. I had always been thinking that it was more about social protocols and learning how to, you know, shake hands and look somebody in the eye. And I know you do all that stuff too.
That, yeah.
And, you know, how to make a resume or just, you know, that kind of stuff. But the fact that you openly talk with them about, you know, conflict resolution, de-escalation, managing your emotions is, I mean, of course you do, but thank God you do. Like, that's super important stuff.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, what makes our program, our Blazer Academy, different is that the instructors are law enforcement professionals mostly.
Yeah.
And although we do have some, you know, cautionary tales from people on the outside, but and part of what we tell them is that we use the experiences that we've either had personally or those that we're aware of. And like I say, we'll take this and we'll say, okay, let's just find a way to to talk about this de-escalation, talk mm-hmm. to, you know, maybe, you know, and they won't know it. They typically don't know where we get it from, but what if you, we'll do something like, let's consider your parents have made you so angry, you don't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we tell them, we teach them. We're not the only ones to teach it, but we can reinforce it in the 6 weeks that we have.
Absolutely. No, I think that's fantastic stuff. 7:45, we're talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but we are seeing some slowdown on I-10 eastbound through the construction zone between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You had an incident, I think it was last night, maybe, at Softly Pines Road, a SWAT team call out, right?
Yeah, we had our patrol units going over to a house on Softly Pines Road. They were looking for a guy named Jurin Dworshak, D-W-O-R-S-H-A-K, Dworshak.
Okay.
And when he saw us, he ran into his house. We surrounded the house. These are felony warrants, right? These are felony orders, basically, to take him into custody. We circled the house. We called our SWAT team out there. We knew that he had his wife inside there. We tried to talk to him and or her. There was nothing there. No response from him. Obviously, we knew he was there because we saw him were inside.
Like, wouldn't take a call. Wouldn't yell through the door.
He wouldn't do anything. But okay. He did. He would move the blind, so we knew someone was in there. We knew that there was. And again, we saw him in there. And we're not going to go away. You got felony warrants on you.
Yeah.
We circled the house. We got a search warrant. We called our SWAT team out. The Rook came out. We had our negotiators
That's
out.
That's the, like, Bobcat-y kind of thing with the front armor.
Bobcat. It's a ballistic Bobcat. But it also has, like, a ram and such. In this case, we decided we're going to go ahead and ram the door. We pushed the door in with this Bobcat, sent a drone inside to take a look at the situation. Ultimately, we had to go inside there, tried some non-lethal on him.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work, so we had to pile on top of him and take him into custody. Everyone's okay. His wife's okay. He's okay. But now he's got some more serious charges on
right.
him. He's had some battery on law enforcement. We've had some deals with this
okay.
knucklehead before. And now he's, you know, loaded up with more charges.
And, you know, that's – you've been doing law enforcement more than 5 years. yeah. A little while.
Yeah.
Whenabouts did all the non-lethal stuff come into play? It seems to my mind like it's within the last 20 years or so. It's really become an emphasis.
Probably the late 90s. I recall I was a sergeant on the SWAT team at the Pensacola Police Department, and I was the first non-lethal instructor. They sent me to pepper spray school and beanbag school and all these other things. Mm-hmm. And so I came back, and I was the instructor for that at the police department. So that's the first time that we had it. Now, it was about that time for your period, probably late 90s. That it really became popular with law enforcement.
And, I mean, you had the advent of tasers and, you know, all of the
options.
That was
a little bit later, right.
Yeah, all of the options eventually. I don't know, it got a lot more attention on social media. I know we published the video on our Facebook page, but it happens occasionally. You had somebody going the wrong way on I-110.
Yes.
At speed. Didn't notice that cars were going around him. Caught on video. Thank God they didn't run into anybody. But one of your deputies was going the other direction correctly, passed him, whipped around and came and pulled him over, right?
Yeah. We all saw the video. And I was cringing, hoping that no one was going to get hit. Because as you mentioned, we get these reports occasionally, maybe not here, but in other areas where a head-on collision resulted in one or two or multiple fatalities. In this case, there was a white truck that was southbound in the northbound lane of Interstate 110. Luckily, we had one of our lieutenants, Joanna Ramos. She was getting on shift. She was getting on call. So she gets out. She's in an unmarked but lights, a lighted vehicle. And when she gets on going northbound, she's going the correct way. She realizes the cars are veering in front of her. Then she has to take evasive action, then immediately turns right around and stops, ends up stopping the truck. So luckily she was there. Everyone said, they must have called 911. They may have called 911 later, but this was one of our lieutenants just happened to be at the right place at the right time. There was one question, how come she was going the wrong way? She wasn't pursuing this truck the wrong way. She was going the correct way and noticed right in front of her while his car's veering, and she was able to veer herself and then turn around immediately and stop it. Ended up arresting, a 43-year-old female for DUI, and we are so lucky that she did not kill anyone or herself.
We had some people post on that video and say that they were there, like they didn't get hit, and they're grateful. And it's got to be terrifying for her going, because she had to pursue the wrong way in order to pursue the pickup. I mean, that's, and it was a DUI ultimately, right? I think was the charge.
Yes, DUI. Yeah,
so, I mean,
well, only because she didn't kill anyone,
right?
It would have been a lot worse than that.
Right.
Again, normally, I got a question yesterday. How would you have handled? Well, we would have probably stopped traffic before then. Try to get upstream if you will.
Time, right?
Yeah, but again, this was just a quick thinking deputy, and obviously to veer away and then turn right around and stop the truck.
I did want to ask you, just because it's been so much in the news. You know, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking with Alex Andrade, Representative Andrade, about the immigration fight between the Governor DeSantis and the legislature. And you and I talked a little bit about this last week. That one of your big concerns is you just don't want to have more to do because you're already, responding. You're at capacity in terms of what you're responding to all the time. But is there a problem here to be solved? Is there a gap to be overcome? You know, your ability to work with ICE, or when you have worked with ICE and your folks in the past, can you maybe, just give us some perspective on, you're the local law enforcement, and immigration is becoming more of an issue, and enforcing illegal and deporting people. How does that work at our level, at your level?
Well, I want to remind everyone, we've always worked with our federal partners on violent criminals and gang members. And if there is a violent criminal, whether it's someone that's legally or illegally in this country, we're going to work with our DEA and ATF, FBI. We're on numerous task forces. We're on a task force right now with the Marshal Service, and it's a violent crime task force. We look for people with violent crimes, and if they happen to be someone that's here illegally, obviously we're gonna help them with that. So we've always done that, and we'll continue to do that, because no one wants violent criminals off the street or violent gang members off the street more than I do. We also would like to add those who are crimes against children, the internet crimes against children. There's a lot, but there's certainly some of those that fit that correct category as well. So as violent criminals and anyone that violates a child, we're going to go after them, whether we need federal authorities or not. So that's always the case. Now, where local law enforcement sits with this federal level and their state level and all this sort of thing, I'll be honest, I don't know what the final outcome of these competing bills are going to be. And I don't know exactly what they're tasking local law enforcement with. Mm-hmm. And again, are we busy? Of course, we're very busy. But I will tell you that whatever, we will enforce the state statute. I'm sworn to uphold the Constitution, state of Florida, and the United States. And I'm just hoping that there's that the federal feds can do their job is what I'm really hoping.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that if there's any changes to the state law, that it's something that we can all agree upon is best for the community. And again, doesn't take us away from responding to 911 calls, and I really want to concentrate on the violent felons, whether they're legal or illegal.
You made me think of something. I know a lot of times you and I talk about a crime that happens, and nobody's willing to talk to you. Nobody's willing to cooperate with you, because of whatever reasons. One thought I think some people might have is that with particularly Mexican or Hispanic immigrant communities feeling more beleaguered, attacked, at risk, whatever you want to call it, that they might become less eager to cooperate, more reluctant to cooperate because you know, heck, if I talk to the cops, maybe my brother gets arrested or whatever because he's here illegally. Have you run into anything like that in that particular community here locally? Has there been any issue with that?
Oh, we have not. We have had, okay, in the past, we've had some reported crimes involving, you know, those that appear who have ultimately been illegal, and these refer those to ICE because, okay, that's their job.
Yeah.
But no, we don't have any. We have not experienced any thoughts where
experiences
where no one wants to talk to us because of for fear
for status. Okay, well that's why I ask. So, Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Again, the Blazer Academy, another class of this fantastic award winning program starting tonight. Kudos to you for implementing it, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for the
time.
You
bet. Y'all take care.
7:55 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, you're going to see some delays. Also, if you're rolling on Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola, you're going to see some delays over the bridge right there as you approach Pensacola, the scenic highway, 9 mile cutoff there, or split off, I need to say. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. And let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
At PennAir Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from PennAir Credit Union. Because at PennAir, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at PennAir.org/car loan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from PennAir Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss this Friday at 9 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This incident is going down on your permanent record.
Public schools are announcing major changes across the district. Starting next school year, the district will continue adding sixth grade to elementary schools, as well as creating a K-8 hybrid model conjoining two existing schools. Another major change includes the addition of seventh and eighth grade to Pensacola High School. Superintendent Keith Leonard says the changes are part of the district's effort to compete with school choice in Florida.
In today's times, public school systems have got to do everything they can to compete.
Yes! This is a 100% win. This is a vindication of school choice programs, vouchers, whatever you want to call it. In Florida, we made it easy to go somewhere else, and as a result, the school district is now adapting and putting magnet schools, should have been doing all along, putting schools together to consolidate them. Could have been doing that all along. Yay! I mean, yay! This is an absolute win. That is exactly why you want competition, not monopolies. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And good morning, Andrew. President Trump is pushing the pause button on his tariff threats against Mexico after they agreed to send 10,000 of their National Guard troops to the border as a way to address drug trafficking.
So what he... So we had
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. Now it doesn't want to play. That's all right.
So Trump talked. He got Mexico and Canada to help us enforce the border and stop fentanyl. And that's all it really cost?
Big win.
Stream us at News Radio.